Accession number 1677, Reverend J. Walker, Reel 4.
Reverend Brooker, Reel 4. Can we talk a little bit longer about that raid that you discussed on the last tape? What kind of boats were you actually in?
Assault boats. A small one where the front goes down.
And you say you're always to go in. And was this the night time that you went
Oh,
in?
Oh, yes, it was night time.
Was anything happening in front of you that as you were going in?
We could see some firing on the cliff top. And then they came down to the beach and we got them in, the wounded ones. You sort of rolled in, and we had a medical orderly on each boat as well. That was who it was with that I piled up with. He was Boys Brigade, too strange to be seen. Anyway, it seems that the Germans had been chasing them or something or other, and we let rip at the cliff top to stop them, and they came down and we got them all aboard and off we went. There was no firing after that. We stopped firing and that was it.
And you say you were towed away, yep. Ultimately.
Yep. We got...
Had you volunteered for this? Was it a volunteer situation or was the platoon...
I don't think it was. I don't think we volunteered. I can't remember.
Were you blacked up and so forth?
We must have been then, yes, I expect, on that day. No, we didn't know what it was we were going to do when we went to Scotland. It was all hush-hush. My wife didn't know where I was. It was all hush-hush until we... until it happened. And when we came back to Portsmouth, they had all the flags out and we were treated as heroes. And we really done nothing. It was the paratroops that had done it. And we got back to the unit. We had a fortnight's leave as a bonus.
We'll go back now to the boat. You were in individual, groups of four in the cabins. Did you have duties to perform on the boat?
On the Britannic?
On the Britannic.
I don't think so. No, not as such. I mean, we were expected to look after our men, and all that sort of thing. But no other duties, no. It was like a pressure cruise as far as we were concerned.
And how did you fill your day?
I don't remember.
Were there leisure activities on board, for example?
I can't tell you.
Tea and boxing, all that kind of thing.
Oh, there were for the men. There must have been. No, I don't. I don't know what we did, to be quite frank. No, I'm sorry.
You sailed from Liverpool to where?
Algiers.
Any incidents on the voyage?
Not that problems. I can recall. Not that I can recall. It was quite calm and quite incident free.
Get pretty warm the conditions as you came into the hotter climes.
Oh yes, of course. As we came into, we kind of changed the tropical kit, and that was it.
When you got to Algiers, what happened?
We disembarked and marched to a transit camp at Philippeville in the heat.
At this point, you wouldn't know which regiment, battalion you were joining.
No. Then, after we've been at Philippeville a few days, we bussed to Tunis, where we embarked on boats for Sicily.
What were your first impressions of Africa?
Hot. Not more than, I don't know really, because let's face it, we didn't stay at Algiers. We moved straight out to Philippeville, which was a canvas camp in the middle of nowhere. Didn't see a lot of, as I say, Algiers, just the usual thing that one sees in pictures and things like that.
See many civilians about?
Well, yes, but not to speak. As we just marched our squad of buffs to Philip Villa, that was it, John Reed and I. And as I say, we stayed there for a few little while, and then from then on to Tunis for embarking to, we didn't know where we were going. We thought we were going to Malta. We could see Malta, but we finished up at a place called Syracuse on the southeast corner of Sicily. We stayed there overnight on compo rations. There was a big air raid. I lost a very good friend there, not of ours, but of another unit. Was buried in, killed in that air raid. And then we moved up from there to a transit camp. I don't exactly know where it was, but it was on the way towards Catania, where Primosole Bridge was. And I was given at that time a draft from the Essex Regiment. John had carried on with ours, and I was given a draft from the Essex Regiment. We got to this transit camp, and then John Reed said to me they were going to move. So I thought to myself, well, hang this Essex Regiment, I'll go with the people I know. And I went with them, and we finished up with the Dunright Infantry, Primosole Bridge.
And this information that you were going to the Dunright would be given to you at the transit camp, the final transit camp?
I don't think so. I don't think we knew where we were going. It wasn't until we got there that we knew we were going.
But the drivers must know. Somebody must know.
Oh, they must know where they were going, yes. But I don't think we knew. I'm sure we didn't. Of course, they'd lost so many at Primosole Bridge, and we were the reinforcements.
So this, you joined 9th Battalion of Dunright Infantry after Primosole Bridge battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were your initial impressions of the battalion when you arrived?
I'm sorry.
They'd come through a pretty rough time.
Yes. Yes, I felt sorry for them in a way. Because, I mean, you'd heard of Stinky Alley, haven't you? Where they buried their own friends. Well, Billy Lowe told us a bit about things, and, you know, he felt really... We were made welcome. I must say that. In general, we were made welcome, and we settled down. John Reed went to D Company, and Don, who was... came at the same time with another draft, joined me in A Company.
Don Taylor. Yeah. And A Company commander was?
Billy Lowe. He was quite a young man. He was a captain. He'd obviously be the only one left out of the company, officers. He was quite nice. And
does it show on a man that he's been through a pretty bad time when you're so close to it like this?
Well, I was young then. I don't suppose I would know. I mean, I was only in my 20s. What was I, about 23? About that, I think. He wasn't much older.
So all the officers except him had been lost, wounded or killed?
In A Company, yes.
The company men, from the point of view of the men, was it depleted as well?
Oh, yes. Well, of course, we took the drafts up with us. You could tell it with the men. I could tell it with my platoon that... they'd had a rough time, some of them. They looked as if they had. The sergeant, I'm not sure whether he came up with us or not, but he was a nice chap. He wasn't a Geordie, though, not the sergeant. But the men, some of them, they looked as if they had really had a... well, understand it, can't you?
How did they receive you, a new, fresh... out of England.
Well, how do men receive a fresh officer? But the difference was, of course, I'd been in the army 3 years, and they eventually got to know that, and of course that was made a difference. But when I first went up, you know, they thought, oh, it's another one for the slaughter sort of thing, you know. These are old soldiers, as they call themselves. But when they found, as I say, that I'd had 3 years in the ranks beforehand, they... changed their attitude a bit, and it settled down nicely.
Any dialect problems, language problems?
I don't recollect any. And yet, mind that they weren't all Geordies.
They'd lost a lot of the original Durham element, yes.
Oh, yes, there were a lot of them from the Midlands as well, and Birmingham and that area, and of course the Buffs, they were West Kent, Royal West Kent, you see, and I was from London, and John Reed was from London.
What was your platoon number?
I don't know. Can't remember. I can remember the Royal Fusiliers one, but not this. Being A Company, it'd either be one, two, or three, wouldn't it?
Some of your draft join you in the platoon?
I don't know. Because I didn't know them all that long. I'd only been with them a short time from the time I'd been commissioned until Shildon, which was a matter of maybe a couple of months at the most.
Can I ask you, you've arrived, you've seen your company officer, and he says you're going to this platoon. What's the initial coming together of platoon and officer?
Well, the company commander takes you and introduces you to them, and then you take over yourself, and that's it. But don't ask me any details. It's so vague, I couldn't tell you.
Do you remember the name of the sergeant?
I don't. I can picture him. Dark chap. Quite young. I can picture him, and I can picture another one that came as a assistant lance sergeant, you know, rank below. And could have been a very good officer, and they wanted me to ask him to do whether he'd take commission, but he wouldn't. I think he was from the Midlands. He hadn't got a Geordie accent, the sergeant. I think he must have been territorial too.
How many men in the platoon?
I couldn't tell you offhand.
Are you still on the three squad structure?
We are on the three now, yes. I should say about 20, 25, thereabouts.
And the basically riflemen with Brens, did you say?
Three sections with them, a Bren gunner and his assistant. And the rest, five riflemen. Do we have 2-inch mortars? I'm sure we must have done as well. And must have had an anti-tank gun as well. Or were they only company strength? Might have been only company strength. I can't remember now. It's just.
Were you in a rest situation after the battle when you got there?
Oh, yes, yes. I don't know who was holding the line, but we were in rest. And then we went up into the line in shell holes. And I'll always remember the first job I had to do. Take out a burial party for Germans that had been dead for days.
There must have been a lot of signs of destruction and bodies and war in the area.
We'd been there for a few days and we suddenly got a stench coming up from a haystack a little further up. When I had a look, there was the deposing body of these East Yorkshiremen from this area, I should think. We buried him and took his tags, and took them back and sent them to the down the line so that report could be made. But you see, I mean, you get a battle like that, because East Yorkshires were 50 division, the same as the Greenhouse and East Yorks, same as Durand. And you get a battle like that, yeah, I suppose you're bound to get the odd body that's not recovered, presumed lost and something like that. And when the next lot come up, you get the stench and that's it, you get it.
Distinctive smell.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard of a decaying flesh? The smell of decaying flesh. How can I explain it? Sulfurated hydrogen, something like that. You know what that smells like? Something similar. It's a terrible smell.
How did you hadn't seen many. Was this your first body that you'd seen?
Oh, yes, yes. Apart from.
As an initial and personal response to that, was the one?
Not really, because it wasn't. We'd buried. We'd buried the others first. This was the first British one. Yeah. This was the first British one that we found. Well, one naturally felt for him, you know, and but I can't remember.
A different reaction to the British one than to the German ones?
No, not really, because they're all human beings.
What is the process? You bring the body, you dig the grave and mark it, do you? Or do you bring body back?
No. Dig a grave where it is and bury it and put a mark on the grave.
Was that a cross carried by the company that went in as a marker or some other form?
Whatever's available. And it might be just a sort of stick or something with a helmet or something like that, or just a stick.
Did it make you more aware of the fact that you were in a very dangerous area and this kind of thing could happen at any moment to yourself or to others, do you?
We knew that the moment we landed in Sicily. You're in a war zone, you see, then. You're in an area where you're liable to be killed at any time. So, I mean, that's it. You get attuned to it eventually. Well, I don't think you do. You never really get attuned to it. You've always that feeling at the back of your mind that is the next bullet or is the next shell got my name on or not. You always feel that. But you put it to the back of your mind.
And is there a fear attached with that?
There's always a certain fear. Well, yes. I'm not going to say I wasn't afraid. Of course I wasn't. I expect everyone else was. But the pips on the shoulder stopped me from showing it, you know what I mean?
The fact that you had men who were watching you.
Oh, yes.
Helps you through this kind of situation, or gives you strength.
They're looking to you for... to lead them, and that's it. And of course, that's the only thing you can do. Doesn't mean to say you don't feel any fear. You feel it the same as they do.
So after you'd done this burial situation, you said you were in shell holes. These were your positions.
Mm-hmm.
Was this before or after Catania had been taken?
Before Catania had been taken, yes. Because we went through Catania.
So you're on the plain between
Tiemsole
Bridge and Catania.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know the place, do you?
From the maps.
Yes, a nice long plain, yes, that's right.
And what was happening to you now? I mean, you're in the situation, you're in the front line. Do you recall what was going on around you, what you were doing?
Just settling down. Getting to know the men and getting to know the commander, company commander, and the rest of the battalion.
Where was the rest of the platoon in relation to yourself in these positions?
Rest of the...
The platoon. How was the platoon laid out in relation to yourself?
Oh, you have two sections in front and one in reserve. Two sections in front, one in reserve, and you're usually by the reserve yourself.
And what are your... So you get up in the morning, or you, if you've had any sleep, you're up in the morning. What is the process of duties that you have to go through?
Well, the first thing you do is you get up just before dawn for stand to. That's usually for till you're told to stand down. I can't remember whether you did it for an hour or half an hour, because that's when mostly the attacks came, as a rule, at dawn. So you got up half an hour before dawn and you stood to, ready for any problems. Then you stood down, and after that, it was seen to breakfast. You left the guard on, I mean, but you did it in active service. You see, you had these compo rations, and you did it by platoons or sections, and you used your compo rations and various things. You were in shell holes and things like that. So once daylight was up, it didn't show anything that was lit or anything like that. Darkness, of course, you don't do it, but at daytime, yes. We lived off from compo rations.
What was in a compo ration?
Oh dear. mostly tin stuff.
Any of these self
enough stuff? Enough to keep a section for one day in food for three meals. There wasn't bread, of course, naturally, because these were sealed rations. There were things like baked beans, powdered milk, tea, sugar, tins of fruit, tins of potatoes, bully beef, usually bully beef, and there'd be some chocolate as well.
Cigarettes?
Oh yes, cigarettes and tobacco. So many a man, and fortunately I smoked a pipe most of the time, so I got all the tobacco. I did do some Hadley there. But that's mainly what it was.
You didn't have a hot meal coming up at night when it got dark? In the forward position, I'm talking
if
about.
If you were stationary, you would, yes. The quartermaster sergeant would go to battalion headquarters, or he'd cook for you at company headquarters. And it was usually stew, anything like that. Usually that we did at night.
You go around your positions, did you, early on, to see that everyone
was... Yes, you had to go around regularly. You go around more than once a day to see everything is all right and reassure them, of course.
Could you do that in the positions you were in the daylight? Were you under observation?
Well, you kept your head down, naturally. There would be some sort of a connection to a certain extent. But you see, this was more not trench warfare, but slit trench warfare. You were in slit trenches, you see, which if you dug them yourself. I mean, we used shell holes at the moment because they were handy. But, if one wasn't in the right position, you'd use them, dig yourself a slit trench with your trenching tool.
Did you come under fire at all at this point?
I don't remember ever coming under fire there, no. In fact, we didn't come under fire for some time. We'd moved through Catania and up the east coast.
Do you recall the condition of Catania when you moved into it?
Hardly any damage at all. Because, you see, the main battle was at Primosoli Bridge outside. And that plain was an airfield, a lot of it. And Catania in the distance. I don't think any... Catania didn't look as if... Because I think what happened is that after Primosoli Bridge, they vacated Catania. And it wasn't... it was only a few days before we moved into it. And up through... What was the next town? Big town. We went up that the coast road at the side.
How did you move up? That was a pretty narrow road, wasn't it? You've got your mountains and your coastline. Were the Germans booby trapping and mining?
My memory. I can remember they were leaving pockets of machine gunners and all that sort of thing. And if you were in a leading company, I can remember one stage where I think it was B Company. We weren't in the lead, B Company, and the platoon commander and the company sergeant major got killed by machine gunners. Because I had to go after they departed and we'd sort of carry them. I had to go up and get their bits and pieces after. But we wouldn't stick to the road. We'd be on the side as well. I can remember one, was it after Catania, where we went onto the heights to the inland, and I had to take a recce patrol out. Took my platoon out on a recce patrol. There was a railway line about a couple of miles ahead of us, and we thought that they might have been holding that still, and I had to take a recce patrol out to it at night. And I remember getting to the railway line, and one or two of the lads were jumpy, of course. The older ones, you know, the ones that had been in Primosoli Bridge and the others. but we managed all right. And I remember seeing my first German there, well, first German officer, patrolling the island. So we knew well enough that we were holding that. That was all I had to go out and get. So I came back, of course. I was able to...
How many would be in the patrol?
My platoon.
It was a recce patrol.
About 25 mine. A whole platoon.
Well, the whole platoon did this?
Yeah, I took the whole platoon out. It was quite a lot, you see. And, of course, we were going along the top of walls and all that. It was one of those sort of country where there were olive and grape groves and all that sort of thing. And you'd have these retaining walls, and you'd down one side it'd be quite a drop, the other side it'd be a bit of a drop, but it was retaining that. You use the wall because that was the only way you could get about at night time. And of course, the old
compass.
I know I ended up at B Company's, coming back, B Company, which was the next one too, so it wasn't a bad bit of compass reading, was it?
Do you move in a patrol situation, do you move at the head of your men, or again, is there some kind of arrangement?
Well, at night time, and you've got the compass, you must need to move ahead, and usually your sergeant brings up the rear, otherwise you're not going to get where you want to get. And it's the same going back, I mean, you've got to lead them back and until you get to where you want to do, and then you... If anything's going to happen, then you get them organised. But generally speaking, if you're going out on a recce patrol, it's better that you're at the front because you've got to be so quiet.
I was going to say, it must be difficult being quiet if you're clambering over walls and things, and the noise would cut.
Yeah. Mm. See, you don't carry all your kit then. You just carry your rifle and bayonet, of course. Of course, I suppose one took a brain gun. You had to take a brain gun to defend yourself if you hit someone. So I know a patrol from B Company went out on our right, and they went out as a patrol to really meet up, and we could hear a lot of firing.
Fighting patrol.
Yeah, fighting patrol. And we could hear a lot of that. They must have come back. They must have hit one of those. Because either side of us there was a road and a bridge. We got into the middle of the two on the recce patrol, and they must have hit one of those. But that's how it goes.
Do you remember anything else about Sicily and the movement up this road?
I remember. I remember going over the top on the hills, and Billy, that's the company commander, got called to an order group waved it down on the doings, and they got on the wireless to us, and I had to take them down back onto the road again, and I can't think of the name of the place we were moving into. We moved into a little town, and we were supposed to got to the centre there, and we couldn't because they were holding things, the Germans, and so we got held up. Then eventually they moved back, and we got into the town.
Were the Sicilian people any assistance to you?
Not really. Let's face it, look at it this way. They were affiliated to Italy and were originally our enemy, you see. And at that time they would have been, I suppose, but I think they were probably relieved that we'd come and not the Germans. But on the other hand, they didn't fraternise all that much. Though I do remember one case, one place we were, I can't remember where it was, where we met up with someone in a sort of chateau. He must have had a bit of money. And I remember us going to his house and having a meal, and he coming to our mess and having a meal. That was the first time I'd ever had spaghetti, as it's cooked the Italian way, with all the tomato on top. It was very good.
Was there a feeling that there was Germans around every corner as you moved?
Well, of course, they're bound to be, aren't they? Because if you you advance and you're held up firing. Then you settle down for a little while and that's gone away and you move up again, or someone's moved up round to them, something like that. That's how it happens. Eventually, I'm trying to think the name of that other place. Another town on the way up Catania, then there was this one, and then at the top, of course, there was Taormina. Anyway, when things had finished in Sicily, when they'd evacuated, you know, departed from Sicily, gone back into Duins, at that time, by the way, we were 30 Corps, which was Montgomery was in charge of the army. I won't say anything about him.
He was not well liked?
He wasn't my friend.
Was this through a personal situation?
No, I didn't know him personally.
What made you feel that he wasn't quite your friend?
Well, I don't mean my friend as such, but you know what I mean. I didn't know him, he didn't know me, but I had a feeling that if I met him, I wouldn't get on with him. And a lot of them didn't like him. A lot of the men didn't like him. The only time he ever came down to your unit was when you were going into action.